unless it's New York or something like that.
They gotta win the lottery.
They got 2503.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is...
What? My name is... Dr. Dre.
Yeah. Robert Fortune.
Okay, yeah. We get it. Start the show.
Never gets old.
Let's make it do what it do, people.
No, it does not. Yes, sir.
Devin Booker just blowing by Eagle Dollar.
Wow, yeah, it's time for the 12 man is officially on the air. This is what we do normally once a week, if you will, but we are ready to, again, kick these things off. We've got a lot of things to discuss. The combine is in. I'm still waiting for Robert's 40-yard dash. I don't know. Maybe he's been eating too much. That's why I haven't seen it posted. But it's all good. We're going to have to talk about that, as always. But, again, we are ready to talk to sports with the 12 man.
I've been eating a lot, but I still ran that 3-8. Still ran that 3-8.
Yeah, okay.
That's a 3-8.
Well, I don't care.
40-yard dash, people.
Yeah. 3-8, 40-foot dash, huh?
I said 40-yard.
Don't even listen to that.
Said it right the first time.
No. He wishes he. If that was the case, he'd be signed somewhere. Mm-hmm. Hey, welcome to Soccer Sports 12 Men on this Sunday, March the 10th. This month is flying by.
Oh
Lord.
Rob was just already off the cuff. You know, again, he must have been listening to Sickle Mode JQ. But, again, let's have some fun. Let's get started with talking sports with the 12th man. We got to check in with my fellas, as I always do. We got a lot of things to talk about, West Coast, East Coast. We got you guys covered. And, Mr. JQ, how are you feeling this evening, sir?
Oh, man, I can't complain. I got to go see FC Cincinnati tie Atlanta in a game they had no business getting the point out of, but I will take it. So it's been a good day. Had to film it down at the Benz today. Good time.
Okay. I mean, JQ be like hanging out at the Benz, man. One day, you know, I'm going to hang out with JQ and be like him when I grow up, man. Because, again, I promise it seems like, you know, the tickets are real, man. And I'm trying to be like you when I grow up, man. Just one day, man. It's all good. Hey,
that's company tickets.
Other guy, I know. I'm just giving you a hard time. Other guy who thinks he ran a 3-8 in the 40. But, Rob Ford. What's up, bro?
Doing good. Ready to talk some sports.
It's just conjecture, man. I'm just saying. Until we see proof, it's just conjecture, man. I'm just saying. Straight up, man.
One thing I got to say, though, them Indiana Pacers uniforms today, man, they was ugly on my TV set today. I don't know. They need to retire them.
Rob, quickly change the subject as you saw.
Which one was it? Was the pinstripe one?
No, those Hickory uniforms, the red jerseys and the yellow shorts.
Oh, yeah. Ooh,
man.
Yeah,
they were quite ugly on the TV set.
Wow. Sorry, go ahead, Dre.
It's all good. I was just saying, you know how Rob quickly changed the subject when we talked about proof about this 40, but it's all good. We'll keep this going as always.
Mm-hmm.
But hey, let's get this party started here. And we got to show some love. Obviously, Curtis and Gary, we're going to show you guys some love.
Now, I
want to
make y'all look bad,
man,
by posting.
Go ahead. Let's have some fun. Let me throw out the numbers to always call into the show. We got a lot of things to discuss. The number to call into the show is always that 424-243-9519. That's the number to call in. Follow us on Twitter at the number 12, THMAN Sports. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/talkingsports with the 12 man. We'll get this party started as we always have to do. So without further ado, let's kick this party off, and we're going to show some love to our Oregon Sports Report. Curtis and Gary, gentlemen, welcome. You guys have the floor.
All right. Well, thank you, guys. I hope you had a good week. We're licking our wounds a little bit up here in Rip City. You know, I want to talk to you about this. I had already put a win down there against Memphis, and Conley put a 40 number on us, and Memphis, you know, they shot 53% and they shot 48 from 3-point land, and coming off the bench, Wright had 25, and Noah coming off the bench, you know, those ugly points he gets. He's always a good rebounder, had and a good assist. He damn near had a triple double on us, and we had really no answer for that loss. Then we have to move to the next game, and we play OKC, and they've been a thorn on our side. Last year we swept them, so they definitely got even with us, and they swept us this year, and that was kind of a brutal game. And Westbrook is one of those guys, you know, if he can keep himself under wraps and composed, he's one of those guys that's just, he can do his thing. He's good. But Damian had a great game against OKC, 51 mm-hmm. points in a loss, but he also dished out 9 assists. That would be tough for Dame, you know, score 51 points, dish out 9 assists, and your team still loses in overtime. That's a rough one.
Now, how about this? You see that the Thunder's been a thorn in the Blazers' side. Now, the playoffs
this year, yeah.
That's your first round matchup right now, the Blazers and the Thunder, with the Thunder having home court right now. How do you feel about that going to the playoffs with them being a thorn in your side?
Well, after we go down there and win the first one, then they no longer have home court.
Pretty confident.
Wow. Wow. Say what you just.
I didn't say we couldn't beat them. I just said, you know, hey, they're a good team. That's a good tandem there. It really is.
Because you know they come back to the airport, they steal it right back, right?
That has not been the norm. I mean, a little bit of the second year of Paul George may have made Westbrook grow up a little bit, but for years I've watched Portland be able to get underneath Westbrook's skin and take that team apart. It didn't happen this year. It sure didn't happen on Thursday. But Portland, they can figure out Westbrook. They have done it in the past. They have done it many, many times in the past. This year, Westbrook has grown up a little bit, so they're going to have to make another adjustment. But what I feel like the Blazers are doing now, I think they're going to try to stay healthy, and I think they're going to try to position themselves for a good first-round match, and I don't think it's going to be Oklahoma City.
Well, they've got 9 home games, seven home games and 9 away. As I'm looking at it, I can see 6-1 at home, and I'm hoping for 5-4 on the road. If they can do that, then that gives them 51 wins. Any better than that? That's good too. What do you guys got? What are you guys seeing out of the Blazers? You guys have been watching them too. Ready to rip me up a little bit after they lost a couple that they should have won.
No, I wasn't going to do that. I look at it more as a regression to the mean, so to speak. They were playing out of their skulls, and they had some really impressive victories on that road trip. But sometimes it happens. Golden State just lost to freaking Phoenix. So, I mean, those things happen. You know, you lose to a Memphis, a team you shouldn't, and maybe they were looking ahead to Oklahoma City, and they just ran into a really quality opponent today who, you know, yeah, they can beat them, but, you know, Oklahoma City can beat them too. I mean, they're a really good team as well. There's a reason why they're sitting there, you know, in the 4 or 5 slots together. They're to me, pretty evenly matched. So I wouldn't rip you over Portland or rip their performance over there. Sometimes you have those days, especially against a good team like Oklahoma City.
Yeah. But I think, from an overall perspective in the Western Conference, look at the rise of the Houston Rockets right now, 8 in a row, 5 of those teams, 5 of those wins against teams that's currently in the playoffs. Obviously, today they get a road victory over Dallas by 1 point. Luka Doncic had an outstanding game, kept Dallas in the game. But they're the team that you got to watch right now in the Western Conference. If Chris Paul can stay healthy and if James Harden could finally get it done in the playoffs, I mean, as of right now, they're only two and a half games back from the 2 seed in the West. I mean, they've just steadily been on the rise in the Western Conference. They're in the 3 spot right now. Would be playing the Utah Jazz in the first round, a team who they eliminated in the Western Conference semifinals last year. So that's an intriguing team to watch in the playoffs and for the remainder of the regular season. Can they move up to the number 2 spot? In the Western Conference, right now they're the hot team in the Western Conference. And it all started off with the win over Golden State too.
Those are big ifs, though, bro. Those are big ifs. Can Paul stay healthy and can Harden actually show up? I mean, those aren't minor things.
Yeah.
Those are really big ifs. So I hear what you're saying. They're playing great regular season basketball, but I just reserve judgment on Houston, but just for the reasons you say it. Until I see them do it for real in the playoffs, like we know they can, I'm still not a believer.
And another quiet thing that if you look at since Clint Capella has come back, I mean, right now, from a defensive standpoint, they're the third best defensive efficiency in the league. He's been, obviously he was out about 6 weeks or so, and getting him back quietly too, in addition to Chris Paul, has been a tremendous improvement for their defense. And obviously this is a team that took Golden State 7 games in the Western Conference Finals last year. But, you know, those are big ifs. I agree with you on that point. But, yeah, we'll have to see. A lot will have to, you know, happen for this team to stay healthy and come up big. But if you remember, this team was a really good defensive team last year. And even in those 7 games against Golden State, they kept the Warriors to in the 90s in quite a few of those games. And, and they're starting to get back at that level. And which I didn't think they were capable of without Trevor Ariza, but they've been doing it lately. And Clint Capella and Chris Paul have been big reasons behind that.
And, you know, Gary didn't want any part of you talking about Houston when you talk about the Blazers, but it's all good. So, again.
No, it's all Western Conference, right? I'm totally fine with that. The other team I want to talk about is the Lakers.
Uh-oh.
I want to talk about the Lakers because and this is why. It's because I haven't really ever seen a team that's just given up the way they have. I've seen teams that fought to the end and they were, you know, win 7 games or win 10 games or whatever, but it seems like they tried to fight every game and just didn't have enough talent there. The Lakers have enough talent to win games, and I just think, well, we're gonna bench this guy, we're gonna set this guy down. I just haven't seen that. I mean, I'm shocked that they're doing it. And now on some of these talk radio shows, they're saying, you know, what are the Lakers gonna do with LeBron? What can they get out of him? Do they want to keep him?
I think that's crazy talk. You've seen people quit. The whole phrase 1-2-3 Cancun. You've seen teams quit down the stretch of a regular season. You just don't expect that to happen out of the Lakers. It's true. But the other piece of it is you lost Ingram, who was playing out of his mind. He was doing like 28-8 since the All-Star break. Now he's done. Kuzma also got hurt. I mean, you didn't get a whole lot of ball, but then you had to shut him down. I would argue that when you take those 3 guys away, they really don't have the talent to go out there. Even if they were, like you say, scrapping and clawing to the end, I still think they would still be losses. You LeBron, and LeBron is really not playing like himself. If you watch the Lakers play, you're like, what is going on with him? He still can't be healthy, or he's just to shut it down. But those other guys that I talked about, without them, you look at LeBron and then everybody else, for goodness sake, you got Mo Wagner coming off and trying to do stuff. Like, I mean, come on now. the talent is not there right now with all the injuries. But, yes, they have. I think they've allowed that to be an excuse to say, okay, these guys are down. We don't have a chance. We're so many games under 500. And the effort level is not where I like to see it at. But I still don't think even with the effort, with the talent missing, they would do anything.
Yeah. But the injuries, they were a team that just looked like they were shelling themselves. And obviously with everything that's going on this year, I think it's really shaking up that locker room. It really has. So, I mean, a lot of these issues from a chemistry standpoint has really hurt that team, has hurt that organization this particular season. And to hear now that there's some – I mean, I don't think it's going to happen, but to hear that there's some consideration that the Lakers will actually look at moving LeBron James is unreal. I mean, I don't think it's going to happen. But I mean that is unreal to actually even hear those kind of conversations.
Wow, that would be amazing. And but you know the problem is LeBron's doing more Hollywood than basketball. He's doing more Hollywood than making chemistry with the boys on the team. If they were going to be successful, we were going to blame LeBron. And we have to blame LeBron for the deflation. And we have to blame LeBron for the mess.
Yeah, and his effort level. When Kuz was pushing you into position on defense, like when you watch him play, he's floating around on the perimeter. You know, he's real nonchalant about it. Like, he's not playing with a fire, and I would agree with you on that. He's got his focus somewhere else. All right, he's still just not healthy or all of the above. But when you watch him play, you right about now, your stretch is like, this can't be the guy we're talking about potentially being the GOAT.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the GOAT would not allow this to happen, and he wouldn't be playing like that. So I agree with you. You got to put a lot of this on LeBron. He just looks disengaged.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, I think he's making a legacy,
taking plays off
not really.
I think it's LeBron and Magic Johnson. It's a combination of both of them that you got to fall
for. I was waiting for that. I was waiting for that, Rob.
Yeah, you know you're going to throw Magic on the bus.
It's
both of them.
No,
I think they're both.
It is.
A big part of what's the problem with the Lakers right now. Stevie Wonder can see it. We can see it. It's been LeBron James and Magic Johnson is the fault for where the Lakers are right now. And nothing against Stevie Wonder. I'm one of his biggest fans, by the way.
And don't forget Clutch Sports.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, I'm Stevie Wonder. It's on my playlist all day long.
Don't forget Clutch Sports. Yeah, don't forget Clutch Sports.
Yeah, that's a good point. Clutch Sports as well.
Yep. It's interesting because, you know, we look at the dynamics of the Lakers and a lot of things to talk about, too, as far as that. And we talk about chemistry, how big that is. And it's kind of like I think LeBron kind of sees what everyone's been talking about, that, you know, they're not going to make the playoffs, obviously, and there's been a lot of things that have been happening with that squad. So this year was kind of like, hey, you know, Magic, hey, just come out here. We'll figure it out from there. That's what looks like it's happening. He's probably going to be on the shelf. He is definitely disengaged because you realize you don't have enough – you know, you're coming with a knife to a gunfight, man, so you don't have all your weapons, man. So, I don't know. It's interesting to see how that plays out, and they are definitely just, you know, suffering for it. But as we move on, we were talking about Robin.
Thank you.
Though it is true. We were waiting for you to drop a couple of things as far as how your feelings are about, you know, Magic. So I figure that'd be coming down the pipe some way, somehow, too. So all good. Hey, gentlemen.
I'm a little mellow with it today, but.
I know you are, bro. I'm trying to chill
so
out.
So far.
Curtis, Gary, anything else you guys want to talk about for Oregon Sports Report really quickly before we move on to some college basketball talk?
Well, I want to make a shout out to Oregon State men's basketball team. They earned themselves a first round bye, and they've got Oregon State basketball have one of the best records they've had in all years. This Pac-12 tournament coming up this week, I think the favorite has to be Washington, but I think, boy, it's going to be a surprise who wins that, and I think it's anybody's team in this Pac-12 shot. It's going to be an interesting tournament in the Pac-12 this year.
All right, cool.
Mm-hmm.
Good job. All right, let's move on. Like I said, so that's good. That's a good segue into college basketball. I know we got some things to talk about as we get ready for March Madness right around the corner. and a lot of big name players going to be making their, or actually going to be a lot of storylines are going to be coming out. Let's talk about a couple things that have happened over the week. We have a quick update, and we'll let Rob kind of jump into this. Illinois is at Penn State. Michigan State beats Michigan. We talk about what's happening in Creighton's win over DePaul. Got Carolina sweeping Duke. I know Rob's about happy about that. But, again, I think it's not
yes. –
it's a good win, but you're not without – you know, Zion Williams changed that dynamic of that squad too. But, you know, a win's a win. But, still, you want to have them at full strength, and we'll see how that plays out. And we'll get into Big Ten, Big East, and ACC updates as far as that too. So Rob, set it up. And JQ, and then obviously West Coast will finish it up as well. Go ahead.
A couple of seniors came up big on senior day across college basketball today. Senior Josh Reeves of Penn State, obviously a down year for both Penn State and Illinois. Josh Reeves came up big for Penn State, career high 26 points, 11 rebounds, led Penn State to 72-56 over Illinois. What is happening to Illinois basketball? What happened to the days of Devin Williams,
D. Brown,
Marcus Liberty? Yeah, D. Brown. I mean, this was a story. College back. Darren Williams. I said Devin. But yeah, Darren Williams is what I meant to say. Yeah, Marcus Liberty and those guys. What has happened? Kenny Battle. And what has happened to those guys?
Not Kenny Battle.
Illinois
wow.
basketball.
I said, I forgot about Kenny Battle. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, we went back in time a little bit. This was a storied college basketball program and what has happened to Illinois basketball. But once again, like I said, Reeves came up big. Lamar Stevens has 16 points for Penn State as well. Penn State, like I said, 14-17 overall, 7-13 in the Big Ten. Michigan also on the road against Michigan State. You know, Michigan led, you know, most of the first half. So Michigan State came back and made it kind of rather easily in the second half. They rolled to a 75-63 victory over Michigan, the big-time college basketball matchup on last night. So Michigan State shares the regular season title with Purdue in the Big Ten. So now we look at going into the Big Ten tournament. Purdue will be the number one seed, Michigan State the number two seed, Michigan the three seed, Wisconsin the four seed, Maryland the five seed. Iowa will be the sixth seed. They're 10-10 in conference, 21 overall. They should still be tournament bound. Minnesota, Indiana, Ohio State, those three teams are all on the bubble. They're going to need to really showcase themselves in the Big Ten tournament to have any shot at getting in the tournament out of the Big Ten. But for sure, Purdue, Michigan State, Michigan, Wisconsin, Maryland, Iowa, they are in. There are six teams that are in the conference. I'm sorry, in the NCAA tournament. I expect at least one of Minnesota, Indiana, Ohio State to get in, maybe two of those three teams. We'll probably sneak in a tournament. As I mentioned, Illinois 7-13 in conference, 11-20 overall. Like I said, what has happened to Illinois Illini for basketball that we used to saw see here just even 10-15 years ago? More college basketball, ACC of course, Carolina sweeping Duke, which obviously I love, and beat them pretty conventionally in both matchups here, 79-70 win. Kobe White, big time freshman point guard for North Carolina. He's really outshining the freshman for Duke. Had a really big game again on last night, and yes, it does. It is minus Zion Williams, but as Roy Williams says, we got to play the cards that we're dealt. And obviously, I've said this before, even on the show, you never want to see anybody get hurt. You always want to see the best players play. But give North Carolina credit where credit is due and their wins over Duke. And probably going to see them again in the ACC tournament next week. So we'll see if Zion Williams is back in time for that matchup because Virginia is going to be the number one seed in the ACC tournament. Carolina is a two seed. Duke is a three seed. So they could possibly meet again in the ACC semis just next weekend. If everything, you know, matches up. So you may finally see that matchup with Zion Williamson on the floor. And in Carolina, Roy Williams' philosophy over the last few years was kind of different from what you've seen out of Duke and Kentucky. Duke and Kentucky has been racking up on 4- and 5-star recruits every year. Well, Carolina will get like two of them, And they'll get guys that will stay through the program 4 or 5 years. So they have a mixture of a couple of elite freshmen on their team, but they also have a lot of veterans that have a lot of experience on their team too. And that has proven to be a pretty successful trait for Roy Williams in North Carolina. So it's going to be interesting, like I said. I know everybody wants to see that matchup with Zion Williamson, so we'll see if it takes place on next weekend. Florida State is the 4 seed in the ACC. Virginia Tech is a 5 seed. Louisville is a 6 seed. Syracuse is a 7 seed. They're practically all in the NCAA tournament. North Carolina State, the 8, and Clemson, the 9. They're both on a bubble. Both of those teams are 9-9 in conference, but both NC State is 21-10 overall, Clemson 19-12. So both of them still have some decent resumes and possibly can still work themselves into the NCAA tournament. The last game we talked about, Creighton, obviously a big win for them as well, because they're a team that's also on the bubble going into the Big East tournament. And Mitch Bullock, man, if y'all see the highlights from that game, this dude drained 11 three-pointers in his game, also a senior on senior day for Creighton. Mm-hmm. He was hitting them from NBA range. He was hitting them from close, from half court. He hit 11 three-pointers in one game for Creighton.
That's nuts.
And Creighton,
yes, it is.
If anybody, you know, if we have any listeners out there that follow that program, I'm sure anybody that lives in Nebraska, but that's a program that gets 18,000 at their college home games, every single home game. And you have some
major
games such as Duke. Duke doesn't
thank you.
The they ain't got nothing else to do.
Wait, what's that?
They ain't got nothing else to do.
Oh.
What else they going to do? Yeah. It didn't happen out there.
Grow corn, right?
Yeah. Watch some basketball. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. But obviously Creighton is a program that is also on a bubble out of that Big East Conference this year. And you look at their overall, they're 17-13. And the argument is Creighton is similar to Indiana. So they have some of the same peaks. But they only have one victory over a team that's a surefire tournament team. That's Marquette. They also have some victories over some other bubblers, Clemson, Georgetown, and Xavier. So we'll see how that shakes out for Creighton when it comes to the tournament selection here next Sunday. They're in the 4 seed in the Big East. Villanova is the 1 seed. They're in. Marquette's the 2 seed. They're in. Georgetown is a 3 seed. They're a bubbler. And Xavier, Jake Hughes' favorite school, he loves
Stop
Catholics. That. So he's they're a 5 seed. There's also on a bubble, and Seton Hall is also on the bubble as well. So we'll see what kind of shakes out of the Big East from the tournament on next week.
Yeah, it's been a lot happening. It's been a rough day for me because my Bearcats got stomped on senior night by Houston. That's back-to-back losses to ranked teams. So not where you, the direction you want to be headed right now, going to the conference play in the tournament. You know, when you got a chance to put your best foot forward against ranked teams, you got to find a way. You took my point about Duke, North Carolina, and it also extends to Michigan and Michigan State. The fact that they're both the 2 and 3 seeds setting up for semifinal matchups in both the Big Ten and the ACC is going to be really, really compelling theater because you're going to get a third bout between them. And I really want Zion to play because I really want to see what happens, and I hope Bolden plays as well. But I really want to see Zion and Luke May on the court for longer than a minute together this year, and to see how that affects Luke May, because he's just been roasting Duke down low, just absolutely killing them and punishing them in the paint on the boards and scoring wise. So can he get loose like that if Zion comes back? So that to me is one of the subplots of that game I'm really looking forward to seeing. And then Michigan State are just going to always have bomb burners. That's just the nature of the beast. So I'm really, really excited about these conference tournaments and one that's off the grid. But how about Texas Tech? Ending Kansas's, 13-year run? I went in the regular season in the Big 12. Texas Tech at 8, you know, winning the Big 12. I mean, just shocking. I was sharing with Kansas State. Both of them sharing the Big 12 and Kansas being third. is just amazing to me, given, you know, the stretch run that Kansas has had and the stranglehold they've had on the Big 12. So that's some of the stuff I took away over, you know, yesterday and today. It's going to be really interesting next weekend. I'm looking forward to those two, three seeds in the Big 10 and the ACC.
And Texas Tech, that's a program. I'll tell you right, they got some real shooters on that team. They can definitely knock down a three-point shot. And so that's a, you know, anytime you can hit that three-point shot, sometimes you live and die by it, but when they're on, they can almost beat anybody.
We going to talk about LSU?
LSU. Outright wins the SEC Conference regular season title. So LSU will have the number one seed, so congratulations to LSU on winning the regular season conference title. So they staying out of the 2-3 matchup with Tennessee and Kentucky. So they won't be, but Florida's a team that's in the four spot. No, I'm sorry, South Carolina's a team that's in the four spot. But Florida is in the eight spot, and they have been a thorn in LSU's side. They split both games, went to overtime. So if Florida wins, they'll play LSU in the quarterfinal round. Obviously, there's a cloud over LSU with Will Wade and his situation. So we'll see what happens with that. The athletic director suspended Will Wade. And LSU also held Javonte Smart, their freshman guard that's supposedly involved in a recruiting wiretap. They held him out on yesterday, and they held out Naz Reid for injury, and they still blew out Vanderbilt on yesterday. So we'll see how that affects the team going forward. But LSU is loaded. They have some incredible athletes on that team.
I don't see the point of holding the dude out. If you're going to have to vacate the wins, you're going to have to vacate them all anyway. So I mean, you might as well keep letting that dude play, because you're going to vacate this year anyway, pretty much. If what we heard comes out to fruition, it's not really going to matter. These wins are just for our eyeballs. They will not remain in the record books, so they're going to get taken. And so you might as well let that dude play.
Well, that's true, but I think what LSU has to show the administration is that they're being proactive. You know, at least they're doing their own homework to see exactly, they have to show the NCAA that they've been doing something and being practiced.
Yeah, I guess it's silly. It's just silly because it doesn't really matter.
But I'm pretty sure.
That's why I say that.
I'm pretty sure he'll either be back for the SEC tournament, or he'll be back for the, if not the SEC tournament, he'll be back for the NCAA tournament.
Okay, I got you.
West Coast.
Like I said, in the Pac-12, I'm looking at Oregon. Like I said, I'm looking at the Pac-12 here. Nevada, still hopeful for Gonzaga to get in that Final Four. I also saw Houston has a ridiculous record. And I'm not sure what conference they're in.
The American.
But I saw they look like they may make some noise. University of Houston.
Yeah, you kind of hurt JQ with that one.
Yeah, they beat up on us today, real bad. They beat up on my Bearcats real bad today.
Kelvin Sampson's team.
Yeah, that's somebody else. They win is going to get vacated, too, because you know they're going to find something on Kelvin. He can't stay clean for nothing.
Wishful thinking. He hoping they find
Kelvin Sampson. No, come on, man. Kelvin Sampson, Bruce Pearl, probably throw Rick Barnes in there as well. You got a couple of dudes that you just know it's only a matter of time before they find out about them, because they just keep doing it. How do these dudes keep getting other jobs in Division I? Like, they've got real dirt at these other places that they've been at. Like, look them up.
Well, Bruce Pearl for sure.
There was three Nike executives up here in Portland that got convicted for crimes for them little shoe deals and some of that nonsense that was going on with the University of Oregon. One was an Adidas exec, and two were Nike execs. This week in Portland, they got convicted and they're going to jail.
Yep. It's a sham. It's all a sham. it's all a sham.
Gary,
you should be paying these dudes anyway. Come on.
Yeah. Everyone's trying to get ahead, man. They're trying to get ahead by any means necessary. But go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. And looking at the Pac-12, Washington really looks like the only surefire team to make the tournament. Anybody else in the Pac-12, the only way of really getting in is probably winning the tournament. Arizona State is the only other school with the outside shot of getting at large berth. So you might only have two schools at the most from the Pac-12 in the NCAA tournament. Like I said, Washington will be in regardless if they win the conference tournament or not. Arizona State is an outside shot as well. But everybody else, their only hope is to win their conference tournament.
The Pac-12, struggling.
Pac-12, yeah, it is struggling, yep. Pac-12 is struggling, even though Houston has some options. All right, gentlemen, and I'm glad that Rob came back, man. He wasn't trying to, like, dip and dodge. Every time LSU does something good, he's always about LSU. But whenever we talk about, some dark clouds, he'll mention anything about LSU. You did.
But there's also a cloud.
We had to set that up. You weren't going to, like, just volunteer, like, yo, what's happening with LSU, Rob? Oh, they won the Pac-10 tournament. Come on, whatever tournament.
You're not in the Pac-10.
I was joking, man. Come on, you know what I'm talking about as far as, like, you know, you talk about, like, you're trying to, like, change the subject here. It was the SEC tournament. Yeah. Oh, good. Hey, all right, so we got to talk about that. Bro, don't try to fake the fun, bro. All right, let's have some fun here. Let's keep this moving here. And we got some things to talk about as far as the NBA. We're going to make some moves about the NBA. And let's talk about, Giannis here. Giannis Antetokounmpo. Is he the new face of the NBA? I know Milwaukee's been playing extremely well. They're the first team with 50 wins. A lot of love to Mike Budenholzer, doing his thing, really great coach. And I'm happy that he did his thing, even though he wasn't really down for the rebuild in Atlanta. But I can't wish nothing bad for him. So he looks like he's doing a great job, man. And your thoughts about Giannis and if he is the new face of the NBA, Rob?
Those are some really good points you made about Budenholzer and Milwaukee. Obviously, they're the first team to win 50 games. Tough road loss today against San Antonio, 7-point loss against the Spurs for the Bucks today. But I think I mentioned this on last week's show that I think Antetokounmpo is the MVP of this season, and I still believe that when you look at all the things he does on the basketball court. I know James Harden has been lightening up from a scoring perspective. But Antetokounmpo has had some 40-point games this year, too. And then we look at what he does on the defensive end, what he does in the rebounding, what he does in the box stats, the steals, how he's carried that team to where they are. I think he's the overall MVP of the league this year, in my opinion. Being the face of the league, obviously, for the most part, that's still LeBron, even though his team's not going to the playoffs. And does Giannis have that personality to be that guy is the question that I would have. But from an athletic standpoint, basketball ability standpoint, he absolutely can be that guy. Does he want to be that guy? Does he have the personality to be that guy would be the question, for being the face of the league. And that would be the only thing I would question. But from who's got next from a talent perspective, absolutely, he is that guy. He's a freak of nature on the basketball court.
Yeah, you know what? I would have said Paul George. I really thought Paul George was having an MVP year. And I think he is, but he's gotten hurt. So that's going to ruin his candidacy a little bit. And I think through some of this attrition, I think it's going to come down to Giannis and James Harden for the MVP. But what he's doing, I agree with you. Talent-wise, he's just a freak. That's why they call him the Greek freak. He's ridiculous. But I'm going to be honest with you, and you can get paid, and you can be a star anywhere nowadays because of social media and whatnot. But to say he's going to be the face of the NBA, I just don't think that could happen in Milwaukee. I really don't. I mean, if you look at it, LeBron, and just because he's LeBron and he's just a once-in-a-generation kind of player, was able to make that work in Cleveland. But if you look outside of that, for the most part, your faces of your leagues are not going to be in these mid-market cities. So even if he comes out and does that, I don't think he'll ever get that push. It'll still be a Steph or a KD. I really think LeBron is starting to slip a little bit because people are really questioning him this year. He's going to have to come back next year and be just out of this world like he can be, but he's going to have a really big bounce back year to kind of keep a grip on that. But just being a superstar in Milwaukee, I just don't think the push there with the print and the TV that drive so much of it still. You know, they still charge so much money for ads during the Super Bowl and all these big events. You got to have to be in a major market to be the face of the NBA. So I just don't think that's going to happen in Milwaukee. Sorry, Milwaukee.
Wow.
Yeah, I enjoyed my business
wow.
here, but I just don't. I just don't think that's going to happen in Milwaukee. I say it was controversial.
We're keeping it.
Yeah. Well, you know,
plus,
I think
does he have, like
I
said, does he have the personality to be that guy too? That's the question.
Personality is a question. Yeah. Good job. Good. Good. Good.
Well, he doesn't have the. He doesn't have the playoff wins. He hasn't been able to get out of the playoffs. And I think that weighs heavily on his chances. I think he.
Mm-hmm.
He could possibly get the league's MVP now, but the face of the league are guys that get in championships, that get through their division. And he has not done that.
He's still a young guy, though. I mean, he's still just coming into his own. I think that's the question, because
mm-hmm.
you have a – I mean, he's definitely a star in the making if he's not already there. I mean, that's not everything yet. And like I said, a lot of times – this would be the year because, you know, obviously the East is – you still got Philly to contend with. But, I mean, there's still some opportunities. You know, we're still questioning what's happening with, you know, with freaking James Harden. So now would be a good time to kind of like fake it claim even no matter where you are. But, yeah, that's all we're saying. He's still a young player. He's not there yet. But you can see kind of what's happening too. But go ahead. I didn't mean to cut steal your thunder, but, yeah, go ahead. That's all.
Yeah, no, I just – you know, LeBron guy gets out of that East.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a hard fact. That's where I'm at on that. I like Mikimi Atombo, and the things I remember about Milwaukee, I remember when Milwaukee got Lou Alcindor with
wow.
Oscar Robertson, and they got a championship. I do remember that. You know, I'm
telling your age, Curtis.
Yeah, I love this. Yeah, I'm
showing
my
age. Kareem,
yeah, Lou Alcindor. Yeah, before he got to be Jabber. But yeah, I remember that. I also remember Willis Reed coming out of the locker room to win a championship. Yeah, way back. And the different faces of the league. Let's see him get out of the East, though. Let's see him get him some championships, and he could really.
I tell you what,
he would be a really good face for the NBA. Really would be.
Yeah, I tell you what. If everything goes the way I envision, Milwaukee and Boston in the second round. And if Boston
mm-hmm.
continuing the uptick that they're on right now, that could be a hell of a series. I mean, Boston right now is actually in the 5 seed. I expect them to move up to 4 and pass Indiana, and at least a 4. And that will be a hell of a first-round matchup and won't be an easy one for Milwaukee, I can tell you that. Although I'll be rooting for Milwaukee.
Hey. You got to give a lot of credit to Indiana for hanging tough with Oladipo getting hurt. I don't think Nate McMillan is going to get as much love as he probably should. I mean, because we all expect them to do a nosedive, like, boom, off the cliff. And they've been holding steady. And I know it's still the East, but you lose a star player like that, and you can still continue to kind of tread water with those heavyweights that we talked about in the East. I got to give him a lot of credit.
Yeah, Philly treated him like cream puff today, though.
What I would say is, you know, you guys mentioned the Greek Freak, you know, and also Harden. And, you know, Harden, you know, what is he averaging? Like, he's almost averaging 37 points a game, you know, and over 7 assists a game. I mean, the guy is having a phenomenal career. And didn't he set a record or at least for his team or something with 40 points per game? How many games in a row did he score 40 points? It was quite a bit. But anyway, I think he's my pick this year. He's never going to be the face of the NBA, you know, and I don't think the Greek Freak will either. I think Harden would like to be, but, you know, just like what Curtis said, you know, if you're not winning NBA championships, you will not be that face of this league. It's just, that's just how it is. But boy, he's really doing something special this year.
He is, but you also got to look at Milwaukee and not near the top with the season he's having. I hear you. James Harden is having a ridiculous season. But I'm with Russell on that. The way he impacts all the other facets of the game with his team success, I think I'll probably give him the nod.
Yeah. And you look at where he's put Milwaukee to this year. I mean, how far they've climbed this year as well. Do they have some other talent on that team? Yes. But he don't have another superstar on that team. He's the only superstar. I mean, Chris Middleton was an all-star this year, but I can't say he's a superstar. So what he has done to carry that franchise to this level this season, and the way he fills up the stat sheet, like the bar Clark Kellogg's line, the stat sheet stuffer, and that's what Giannis is. That's what Greek Freak does. He's a stat sheet stuffer. He fills every category, not just the scoring box.
Nice. Hope you guys weren't kind of going out there, because I hope I'm not going it out. So hope not having any technical difficulties with Blog Talk, because it felt like it was going in and out too. So
you are.
We'll try to keep this going. Yeah. All right. We're gonna try to keep this going. And it is funny that It is funny that you brought up Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, if you will, Curtis, because it reminds me of somebody that was just kind of like makes the argument for us in the fact that he was an incredible scorer, still the NBA leader in points with the great hook shot, sky hook, but he was not the face of the NBA because he just, you know, was more reserved, didn't want that, you know, due to his beliefs and whatnot. So just a great example of how just you could have all the talent and be the leader, but you may not be cut out for becoming the face of the league, if you will. So I don't know if anyone else wants to comment on that. We got about 13 minutes left in the show. We're going to keep this moving as well. All right.
The party going.
Let's talk about the next part. I do really want to talk really quickly. We got about 12 minutes. I want to talk about some options with we kind of went over a couple things here. There's two topics, I guess. We want to talk about Russell Westbrook. Should he be in the MVP conversation? And then we're going to talk really, really briefly about LeBron moving past Jordan. And then I know he had some minute restrictions. And then we'll talk about the fantasy shout-outs and we'll get ready for the OT portion and all that fun stuff too. So go ahead with that, Rob.
Yeah, when you look at Russell Westbrook, I think he's gaining momentum getting back in that conversation. But, you know, JQ mentioned this earlier. Paul George has been the MVP of that team this year, though. And he would be the guy that I would put in the MVP conversation this year over Russell Westbrook. I mean, I think he's been that guy. But Russell Westbrook, when you look at what he's done here in the last 5 to 10 games, he's getting back in that conversation, that's for sure. But I would put Paul George right behind Giannis and James Harden. So I would probably put George even over Westbrook for that MVP. But should Westbrook maybe get some votes, maybe in the top five or top six? Yes. But I think he's definitely behind those three when we talk about the MVP conversation this year.
Yeah, I totally agree. And what's amazing to me about him, even as great as he's playing, but it almost seems like you can watch him deferring more to Paul George when he sees Paul George has it going and it doesn't become into a pissing match that he had with Kevin Durant. And it's like, well, you had him and Harden on your team and you couldn't make it work with Durant in that kind of who's going to be the alpha male, so to speak. And then you get Paul George and then you're like, yeah, okay, you do it, bro. And it's like, well, wait a minute. Why couldn't you do that with Kevin Durant? Why can't you do that with Paul George? I find that to be fascinating for Russell Westbrook. But I agree with you. He's creeping up. But at the very least, they're going to split the votes. Because if you watch that chair that Paul George was on before he got hurt, he was carrying that team. And when Russell Westbrook was doing his part, don't get me wrong, but that was Paul George's show. And I give Westbrook a lot of credit in those times where he was allowing Paul George to be that dog and to lead them. It's comical to me the fact that, you know, I don't know if it's a personality thing. He just vibes better with Paul George where he can allow that to happen and it won't be no beef where it was just tangible, clear beef.
Sure.
With Kevin Durant when you can see it. So I don't know. And I don't know if that's going to play into it any at all, but I just find that to be a little funny.
Maybe maturity too, though, JQ, like you said. That's not
true.
Go ahead.
You know, that's
West
all
Coast,
I have on that
what
one.
You got to say about that? Yep.
Well, I think I said it earlier. Yeah, I think I said it earlier when I said that it looked like Westbrook has grown up some,
yep.
which is going to pose a real problem for the Portland Trail Blazers because they, in the past, have been able to figure him out, been able to get him out of his game, get him frustrated, get him doing wild shots, get him running up and down the court like with his head cut off, and they've been able to get him. This year, and you got to admit, it is the second year with him and Paul had a chance to leave and stayed, and that might have made an impact on Westbrook. And he probably hears all this criticism that he's been getting over the years, and he probably has decided he's got a good team with him, and if he can play his role, sometimes guys got to figure out what their roles are for the team to be very successful. But I think Portland has enough to beat them in the playoffs. And that's what I'm going to look for, even though, like I said, they swept them this year in the regular season. But the playoffs are different animal. And if the Portland Trail Blazers, if they want it, they got to want it here in Portland for them to get in the Western Conference Finals. And I'm one that thinks they got the tools to do it. Now, do they got the heart to do it?
I think we skipped over one thing and another topic. I would say, I hear what you're saying about the Blazers, but they're another team for me with the Rockets, and I got to see them do it. They have the talent, but are they going to have the will? But LeBron, I really don't think he got enough credit for that. Even outside of that, I think the pass in MJ was big. I don't think he got enough credit for that, you know, universally, but, you know, you got so many haters out there. But the fact that he's also in the top 10 of assists, and to do that in the same season and pass Michael Jordan and crack the top 10 of assists is mind-boggling. And it goes to show you how just dissatisfied people are with him and with the way the Lakers have shown. I tell you this, I think if the Lakers were in the playoffs or at least fighting closer for the 6th, 7th, 8th spot, and he does this, the fanfare, I think, is so much bigger than what happened. But I think people are just looking at him like, man, that's a sucker move. He went to L.A. and y'all ain't going to make the playoffs. Man, I ain't talking about this. And I think he's really gotten a lot of that kind of blowback, even though in the prism of this season. But you got to take yourself out of that and look at the whole of it like, dude, he's in the top 10 of assists and points. He just passed Michael Jordan. Like, come on now.
Obviously, I have a distaste in my mouth for a lot of things that LeBron, Magic, and Clutch Sports have done this year. But when you look at it just from a basketball perspective, what he's been able to accomplish, as you mentioned, JQ, is he probably didn't get the credit. Even the Lakers fans were actually booing him early in that game for missing a free throw.
Mm-hmm.
And then it came back and kind of gave him a soft cheer, I would say. I wouldn't even say like a rounding ovation. It was really more of a soft cheer for what he had accomplished. And, you know, Jordan, and from most of us on this phone here, we probably agree he's probably the best basketball player we've ever seen. And Jordan, and LeBron just surpassed him in the scoring title. And he's going to pass Kobe next year. And who else? He may even pass Kareem and Karl Malone. Who knows? All the way up to the top. But he's another one of those guys that's been a stat sheet stuffer as well his whole career, from rebounding, assists. We've talked about this before. Only player in the NBA Finals to lead in five categories: points, steals, blocks, rebounds, and assists. We never saw any other player in NBA history do that.
Right.
And it's in the minutes restrictions thing. And I, to some degree, this is at this point, it's probably smart for the Lakers to do that, especially if they're going to keep him on the roster. And when you look at the amount of games he's played, I mean, 8 straight NBA Finals, the wear and tear on his body. And if they're not going to the playoffs, obviously, they should try to reduce some of those minutes and take some of that wear and tear off his body. He's not playing at 100% as well. So if you're the Lakers, this is a move that they have to do. And they have some other injuries I'm not going to say they're going to be tanking, but I'm sure at this point they're even thinking about getting better draft picks.
Listen, if you're going to give big minutes to Mo Wagner and Alex Caruso, you are not talking about winning for real. So, yeah,
who
you go ahead and put those – yeah, right. You put the minute restrictions on him, and you say, like you said, leave some of that tread on that tire for the last 2 years of that contract, and you keep it moving. It's over. And, I mean, you just got to say that it's over. And like I said, if those guys are going to play big minutes for you, I just can't see wearing LeBron out. I just can't see it. It doesn't make sense.
It ain't over till it's over. That's what Leonard Kravitz said.
Man, that's just over.
Yeah, I even had to text my Laker fans in Portland. You know, I'm counting them out. They're out. And I wasn't counting them out for a long time, but this week convinced me the minutes restriction and all the distractions just convinced me that the Lakers and LeBron is going to miss the playoffs in, you know, it's been 10 years.
Someone's crying.
It's sad.
Don't cry for the Argentines.
I am. What are you
talking about? Hey, Rob, let's get these fantasy shout-outs in because we're not going to have a long show because the daylight savings time is still kind of affecting some folks here, namely me. I've got to get moving here, but let's do the fantasy shout-outs here. I don't want to have a long show.
Oh, man, stop being a wuss.
Shut up. Do the fantasy shout-outs.
All right. Obviously, we're still in the middle of a fantasy week this particular week, but last week ended with our co-host Andre, his team triple-double, having one of the biggest wins of the week, 7-1 over Madhouse on Madison. Also, Ronald from New Orleans, his team, Saints Pelicans 23, he had a 7-1 victory as well over Pastor Rock. That kind of helped you a little bit in that division, your division there, Andre. Yours truly, my team still in first place, Dribble My Nizzle, after last week sitting at 116-34-2. So those are your fantasy shout-outs of the week. And once again, that division you and Andre is getting real interesting. All three of y'all are within a few games of each other, and only two of you look like you're going to make the playoffs. So it's going to be interesting which two gets in and which one doesn't.
We got some moves as we speak, man. Keep it going, man. It's going to be fun.
That damn Rob just knocked me out the 2 seed. Thanks, Rob.
It's just business, not personal.
There goes my bye.
It's just business.
I just missed the 2 seed by half a game. That's how ridiculous that is. You got to love fantasy basketball.
Set up OT, Rob. Set up OT, Rob. Ready for the OT portion. Set it up, Rob.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're getting ready to go into the OT portion of our show. Unfortunately, we can't give you this portion of our show live. So click on the same link on tomorrow and on the rest of this week, and we'll get the rest of the show to you. We still got a little NBA to cover. We still got some NFL to cover as well. So you don't want to miss the OT portion of our show. We'll get that covered for you here in once again, you can listen to it on tomorrow or the rest of this week. Our next live show is going to be Tuesday night, March 19th. So we won't be on next Sunday night. We're going to be on Tuesday, March 19th. So we got a little bit, about 8 to 9 days rest in between shows before our next show. Once again, we'll be touching bases on NBA. College basketball brackets will be out by that point. So obviously we'll have that covered for you. And, of course, we'll be getting right into the NFL free agent season and more into mock drafts and things of that nature as well regarding NFL. Good night, people. Thanks for tuning in. Don't miss us on next Tuesday the 19th. Good night.
Oh, thank you, FC Cincinnati, for at least getting the draw so I don't have to hear all that trash that I was going to get because I was clad in all my orange and blue at the stadium. People was real mad at me, so I appreciate y'all for helping the brother out. Thank y'all for listening to the show. I'm looking forward to these brackets to see how they play out, especially Gonzaga's bracket out in the West. I want to see how that plays out, so we're going to break that down for you next week. Holla at you then.
Holla at you,
all right, guys.
Boys.
We are official in the OT portion. We always have some fun. Shout out to Naj. Hopefully he'll give us a shout out. Check in, all that fun stuff too. We're going to wrap up some NBA stuff here. I definitely want to talk about the mock draft, some updates that have happened. We got to talk about some Antonio Brown news, which I'm sure JQ is really happy about. That's Steelers apparently get weaker. And the same thing with Le'Veon Bell. There's a lot of things happening with that organization, too, as well. And then we'll talk about Kyler Murray, some comments that were made, too. So I think we can jump into that. I know I do want to table, Rob, the top five scorers in NBA history, and that's going to be the top. That's it's not going to be fast. So I definitely want to get into the mock draft and talk about some things that happened over the weekend as well, too. So first and foremost, and obviously the big trade with Case Keenum now going with the Redskins here, obviously in light of what happened with the Broncos signing Joe Flacco. Case was expendable. And the question that Rob put was, should the NFC fear the Redskins with Case Keenum? And that's a big, fat, resounding no. which is, I mean, you know, it's just more or less like, I don't know what's happening with the quarterback play. Ever since they lost out on RG3, it's been an interesting scenario, too. So let's talk about that, and then we'll set it up to what's happening with the Antonio Brown getting traded to the Raiders. Hell, I would trade a third round and a fifth round to get Antonio Brown, which is crazy, I guess, depending on the cap space. And then we'll talk about Kyler Murray and the comments that happened with Charlie Casserly and all that fun stuff. And we'll let Rob do his mock draft after this. So go ahead, Rob, start it off, and we'll keep it going here. So go ahead.
Yeah, well, when you talk about the Washington Redskins here with Case Keenum, and, well, you pretty much said it, Andre. It's a flat-out no. And I think Alex Smith is a better quarterback than Case Keenum, and I don't think the NFC feared the Redskins with Alex Smith. And so I mean that goes to show you, is he a stopgap? That's pretty much all he is. He's still not the franchise quarterback the Redskins need going forward. Will they get that in this draft? Not sure. They're picking 15th in the middle of the round, first round, and I actually don't even have him taking a quarterback anymore. In the first round of the draft. So I think he's going to be starting quarterback for him next season? Absolutely. And but like I said, he's just going to be a stopgap. Are they going to win some games? Yes. But are they going to be a championship contender? Absolutely not. And they won't be a feared team in the NFC by any stretch of the imagination. And on paper, Dallas is probably still the team with the most talent in that division. You have to see what Carson Wentz from a health standpoint. And it's the Giants. You know, look like they're just selling their whole defense. So, I mean, it don't look like they're going to be in contention next year either. The Redskins are probably somewhere in that three spot in that division at this point looking into it. But I have them taking – Greedy Williams, cornerback from LSU at 15 right now, so I don't even have him taking QB in the first round.
Yeah, nobody's fearing them, bro. Not at all. For all the things y'all just said, I mean, you don't know what you're going to get out of guys because he's coming off the ACL. Jordan Reed, I mean, all he does is bump into a table. He'll miss five games. So, I mean, when you look at him from a health
he was a fantasy nightmare.
Yes, he is. All the talent, but can't stay on the field. Dotson can't really stay healthy for them as well. And you talked about the issues with Alex Smith. I think Case Keenum just had one of those, you know, uptick seasons, and it just all worked for him in Minnesota, and he's back to being the Case Keenum that we all knew and love. So if you really think he's going to be that dude, I'm with you guys. That's a resounding no. To me, I don't know if I'll put Dallas at the top yet. I still think Philadelphia is going to be in that position. I just like the way they play. You're right with Carson Wentz, what's going to happen. But you remember, on that way to the Super Bowl, he was the one that got him off to that crazy record before he got hurt. So the possibilities and the talent is there, and if he's proven it, can he recapture that for Philadelphia? And that's what they need. But, yeah, I'm with you. I see Washington and New York, unless New York finds a way to get three offensive linemen or two, a quarterback, and hit on their defensive selections in this draft, then they're in trouble. They have to have a draft that Indianapolis had last year, the way they hit on their defensive players. That's in their offensive line. That's what the Giants have to have any shot in the dark. But, yeah, not the Redskins, no.
Yeah. What I'm looking at with Oakland is John Gruden. Now, one thing I do believe by him getting the receiver, I think he got a better receiver than Amari Cooper is in Dallas. So, I think he got a better receiver. He's got a bunch of room to play here, and that team, you know, that team has to move, which might mess up a season and might mess everything up. But it's a good idea for Oakland to get some stars on that team to make that move and have some marquee football players going to Vegas to sell some tickets. And then we're going to see two things we're going to see here. We're going to see Gruden's coaching, and we're going to see Derek Carr's leadership. We're really going to see what kind of quarterback we got in Derek Carr. And to me, that's the X factor, because we've seen him be good before, but not lately. What's going on there? You know, yeah, what's going on there, Derek Carr? Are you a franchise quarterback or are you not?
No.
With this kind of tool, let's see it.
Yeah, that's the thing we're going to talk about, too. I don't know if you want to pop in on that, too. Gary, any comment on that, what's happening, too, or no? Because I think it's interesting.
Well, I will. You know, I don't see that moving the needle with the Redskins at all. Case Keenum, I think he's average.
We didn't expect y'all to think that.
Well,
he thought we were. Hit him with the Denny Green.
I mean, right. Yes, I am a Cowboy fan. You're right. And I disagree with the Philadelphia thing from earlier. I do think the Cowboys will win that division again. Really? You gotta roast me, don't you?
You know, this is not roasting. I think it's definitely refreshing because you're pretty consistent, I would say, because anytime that you talk about it, you know, you're always, you know, you're saying, hey, you know, come at me, you know, talking junk about the Blazers and you're going to go down fighting. We like that. So it is what it is. It's a Cowboy topic. You're going to stay with the Cowboys, and that's fine.
It's always a little both, just like I've said that before, too, right? It's always both.
Yeah.
You always want to be analytical to some point, but, you know, you're hoping for the best outcome, right?
Yep.
So I don't think that this topic that Curtis brought up, the wide receiver, he was troubling Pittsburgh. He's going to be troubling Oakland, and I don't think he's a better receiver with that factor, along with Gruden. We'll see. Gruden won't take his crap, and he'll probably end up being on the chopping block.